So, welcome, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks. First of all, yeah. Right on.
We're starting.
We're thanks for location. Having me on.
It's going.
We are rolling now.
Okay.
So we're on location.
If you want to use that first part, Maria Herman won't care.
Oh, okay. All right. It's cool if we need to cut it.
Yeah.
Gerald, cut it.
She knows I love her.
It's easy peasy. I can cut anything. I can cut anything.
But this is a good, rare episode because we're on location, which is nice.
We are.
We can go on location whenever we want now.
Yes, yes. We are mobile.
as long as we remember all the microphones
and microphone cables, we can actually do this.
Yeah, this is a take two. We actually did this one unmiked last time.
Yeah, the entire thing. And so, it was a much better episode.
Had these fellas over to the house, and we had a whole long conversation. And at the end, he goes, "Now that's what the podcast would have been."
Yeah, right.
That's exactly how it would have been.
Pretty much.
Just forgot the mic cord. So.
Yeah,
that's how it happens, man.
Yeah, I'm 50 years old now.
Listen,
man.
It's too much equipment podcasting. You know,
it is a bit.
So we got it down now, though. I think like it's pretty good. So
it happens in stand up too.
What's that now?
Yeah, like okay, so I did a show the other day. It was a great show. I show up, it's like in Oceanside or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So it's like an hour drive from here. I get up there, and the first thing the booker says to me when I get out of the car, she goes, "You don't have a microphone, do you?"
Oh,
I was like, "Do you think Bashan will have a microphone?" I go, "No, I know he won't."
Yeah, no.
I know he won't.
We like, don't.
30 minutes to showtime. She's like, "You don't have like a mic."
I'm like, "That's your job."
Like, "No, I don't have a mic."
You're the venue. You're supposed to have it.
That's hilarious.
Okay, well, when you go up there, just talk loud.
Yeah,
loud.
Just be loud. Totally.
Oh, man.
I think if they don't have a mic, you should get like 10 more free drinks.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Just to be louder, you know?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And that's nothing you would ever think about. Like for
I know, event, you know,
like as a comic, you're like, "Oh, well, I got my microphone, gonna go do some comedy."
Well, you know what? My mom, who's much smarter than me, always said that. She's like, "Why don't you invest in a little speaker and a mic so that when that happens, you can be like, 'Yes, I do have a mic.'" And I'm like, I don't know.
You're like,
that's a good
yes,
question.
I do.
Because I'm
and
lazy.
It's going to cost
right,
you.
Right. Like, and generally, other people will do that.
I feel like they should set that part up.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I don't show up and go, "Hey, did you write any jokes?
right.
Did you bring any extra jokes?
What are you going to do? I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
I left them at home. I left my whole act at home.
Do you have a microphone? Actually, yeah. I do. But, you know, to rent it costs like $150.
Yeah.
So
I'll give you the microphone, but then you do the 40 minutes on stage.
Exactly. As a pseudo musician, knows I'd have to invest in stuff like that too.
Yeah, these are nice mics too. Mine's got a sneeze guard and everything.
Yeah, that's the sneeze guard that came with this one. That was a gift from a friend of mine. This part looks so fancy.
I always feel like fancy mics like this, you should be rapping, you know? I'm not saying I'm going to rap right now, but I'm just saying.
I was hoping you would.
No. I just feel like that's what I always think that's what this part is for, like, because you're getting all really, like,
popping it.
Like, you're just Tupac-ing really hard.
Yeah. You're getting it on.
Coming right at it.
And your flow starts flowing fiercely.
That needs to be on a shirt. You're just Tupac-ing
too hard. Quit Tupac-ing it, bruh. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever write rhymes? Do you ever like try to write rhymes?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely wrote rhymes. I wanted to be a rapper.
Yeah.
And I don't really like a lot of white rappers. I'm like, that's my big, that's, you know, people are like prejudice or whatever. That's my only prejudice.
I don't know what it is.
It's kind of like,
so you're not in the Beastie Boys, no?
I did like the Beastie Boys, but I felt like they did their own style.
They certainly did.
They almost sound like punk rockers, like screaming the way they sort of leaned into their nasally high voices, which
sure
I
did.
Like that they did that instead of sort of trying to affect a different sound.
So, but like Eminem, you're not a fan?
I never was. I know that people are like, "He's the best rapper." I'm like, I don't know. I just can't dance to any of that. It's just like,
oh, he's got some good dance songs.
My brother likes him. I remember my brother playing tapes of his before he was big and being like, "Check this guy out." And I was like, "That's really fast, you know." He raps fast. He's like a white Busta Rhymes.
Busta,
you know.
I can't think of a male fast rapper. Super fast. But then again, you know, I'm always like on the fringe. So like, back in the day, I felt like I was like owning it. Like,
oh yeah,
Run DMC and Houdini and and then we had some other like lower label stuff. There was a song called Yamama. That was like...
Oh, yeah, the Far Side.
No, before that. Far Side, though, later, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I was all on the Far Side. But
I was listening to a podcast today called Mogul, and it's about the life and death of Chris Lighty and in this old New York hip hop scene. And they're talking about old school stuff like the Pee Wee Herman dance. Oh, and I remember that song from when I was a kid. And I was like, dun 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 I love that.
Yeah,
but
me
anyway,
too. Me too. No. And I wrote. And I remember in high school. So I went to high school. So I'm originally from Chicago.
Okay.
And all black neighborhood. My dad's black. My mom's white.
Okay.
So this is like just kind of the set and the thing. We moved to Oregon to a very very white neighborhood.
Yeah.
Very white school. And
that's all of Oregon, I would think, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
Most
pretty
of the
much.
Whole state. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wrapped it up.
You didn't move to like the where's South Central Oregon or whatever, you know?
Yeah, Portland, you know, I don't
west
even
side
know.
Of Oregon.
Yeah,
Harlem. Harlem, Oregon.
Harlem,
yeah.
Oregon.
What that's Dave Walker, where the hard neighborhoods are.
Like, Portland. Where's the hood?
Yeah, there are hoods. I mean, there are definitely hoods. And okay. Every metropolitan area, you're going to find areas like that. But anyway... I wrote a senior year. I did a senior rap. And
oh, nice!
Yeah, and performed it like at our senior banquet.
Oh my gosh!
And I left in some like
questionable material.
Yeah, yeah, really? I was pushing the edge. I like actually had to like submit it to the vice principal.
Oh,
and then
wow.
The vice.
And so can we change this to Fanny?
He did that. He actually like, and he was so proud. He's
I
like,
will kick
I
your
changed
Fanny.
This. He changed. He's like, look, I changed it, but listen to this. And he like, changed it,
and it still rhymed. Was it still rhyming?
It was like, not good.
No.
It was not good. But what the thing was that I gave him that, and then I did something else at the thing.
Oh,
that was
gosh.
Much more incendiary.
It's a little switcheroo.
Yeah, and I got in trouble for it.
Of course,
it was.
Well, you should get in trouble for it. It's rap,
you should.
You know? That's
part of it. It's not the rap experience.
So he was Tupac-ing it too. Hard.
That's right.
Yeah, got in trouble with the president or
the
president, the fucking principal. That's
principal,
what I'm trying to say.
The dean.
Yeah.
So yeah, we rap. So
I grew up on
just
that.
Couple rappers.
I remember doing break dancing in my elementary school, like talent show, and
dude,
I didn't know
I
how
did
to break.
Too.
You know,
well, not in my, but at my high school.
Yeah, I was right terrible. On. I just only knew the move where you do the wave,
yeah.
Like with your arms, but my hands would stay connected like this, and I would just wave it. I know this is radio, not TV, but I would just wait. I remember getting off, and I think my mom even was just like, "Is that the only move
the
that you know? Why did you?" Go on the talent show
because,
with that. That was,
check it out.
I was just like, yeah, but look how good I wave. Yeah. I love the music, Mom. Oh, I'm doing the Pee Wee Herman right now.
You like to spread out your cardboard and everything, put on your beanie and all
my brother would do the head spin. I remember we lived in Atlanta for 1 year. My mom came downstairs to the basement. We had a basement there, and he was doing my younger brother, and he has a really big head. I used to make fun of it, like a tri-cornered head.
Right.
So he's doing the head spin. He's spinning and around. My mom's like, "No, his poor neck. You know, he's going to break
his
neck."
Nervous. That makes me nervous.
Oh, it made me. You know, but I was like, "He's fine. His head is
he's good.
He was good.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Head spin. I mean, that's.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching it like
we
wow,
used to try to do the little helicopter move.
Oh yeah,
we spin your leg, and I could. Go and get like maybe one or two spins.
Clear out all the furniture in the room.
No. All of a sudden you get inspired. Like, all right, let's
I mean,
clear
that
out
was
space.
I think that was like a great thing about rap music back then. I mean, it wasn't even rap necessarily, but just that it was like there was dancing and battling and all that. Like when I was in elementary school, we had like battles, you know what I mean?
Like,
people
like,
would battle,
where you'd like break
you'd
dance,
like recess, or? Yeah, you battle like break dance battle, or
like send it over,
yeah.
So
that kind of crowd mob like hype thing,
oh yeah,
is such a funny scenario.
It's kind of like roast battle now a little bit. You see that same vibe, roast battle, and they have the wave where they come running in and acting crazy, like. The roast battle almost reminds me of that, you know.
Now, I don't know if I've seen this roast battle. That's a thing.
So that's the thing they do in Hollywood, at the Hollywood Comedy Store that Brian Moses started, and he has like Jeff Ross on there as a judge. And instead of the roast where it's like a panel of people and each person gets there like 5 minutes and roasts everybody down the line, which is kind of like what I like because it's so much easier.
Right.
This is like a one-on-one battle where you get one joke and then the crowd will react, and then they get one joke, and it goes back and forth, and it's really intense.
That's fun. I can see really working the crowd, like, you know, in a scenario like that. And
they brought it down to La Jolla. I did it once against Zoltan. We battled, and it was really, it was hard. It was hard because they had other judges there. Jeff Ross was there, other people, and they would be roasting. They like roasted me in between me roasting him. It was like they were doing fat jokes to me. Jeff Ross told me, he said, your comedy's groundbreaking. You know, he was just a dick, but he was really cool afterwards. They were all really cool, and but it was just stressful. It's also hard, like when it's your friend and you like them, and you're saying these mean things,
right.
And they're out there forever now. Like I said, mean, like really horrible things to him.
A comic with a conscience. I mean,
I think comics are all sensitive. They don't really want to get insulted like that.
I guess I agree.
Yeah, because everybody at the roast, you always see people are loving it, they're laughing, and then as soon as it gets to like the jokes on them, I'm like, oh shit, here it comes. You know, at least I am. I'm sitting there going, oh boy, it's my turn.
Yeah, I think I can see it sometimes just as appreciation of good writing, where it's like, that's a good one. Like, you know, like even if it's on you, you're like,
oh, definitely. That's good. If it's clever, that's like good. Clever more so than mean, it's like, I laugh at it all.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I always have a soft spot, I guess, for self-deprecating humor as opposed to like.
Me too.
You know, outgoing. Too.
Absolutely. You know, it's easier to make fun of yourself than to like be really mean. But those roasts are really fun to do anyway, just because it's that exercise and like, how do I come up with something that's just clever, especially if I insulted all those people before. Like everyone on the roast of Dan Venti, we've done those roasts with that panel like several times with different people. And so I had to like come up with new insults for people.
And really do it on the spot. You're like, oh, okay, he's wearing shorts, so I can make a shorts joke. And like, it's just like, practices that improv part of your brain.
Yeah, but doing it on the spot for a roast doesn't work. You get massacred. Yeah, because people have come up with their most clever stuff, and they're reading it right off the page. And then you're like, yeah, look at your face. And then it's really embarrassing. But
if your crew is loud enough,
you need like hype men. Yeah, exactly.
Someone to fan you, and then, you know, put the jacket over your shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't introduced our guest yet. We've been talking for quite some time.
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
And we haven't done anything.
How long has it been?
15 minutes without an intro or an introduction.
15 good entertaining minutes.
So I have to be
if you could please introduce it as...
Yeah, the breaker of chains, the mother of dragons, the
unburnt.
Yeah.
Yes. The sometimes burnt.
The king of the unsullied.
The great grass sea. Something about a grass sea and being burnt.
Yeah, Superman.
Mother of all the dragoons.
Mention the dragons.
We have a guest with us here on the show, Jesse Egan.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for letting us
Thanks for being
again.
In my living room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
For letting us hang out in here.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
It's a lovely day today.
And be sure, I'm all thrown off my game. I have to do all the business. I have to be the mean one.
Definitely.
You're good.
I'm mean cop right now.
Visit
our website at lifesabitch.com. Check out our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff at Life's a Binge.
Life's a Binge. I like it.
Life's a Binge.
Nice. All that fun stuff. I think that's basically it.
That's it. No more Modern Profession plugging.
You know the phone number, Beach?
Of course I do.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
The number.
Are you guys taking calls? Are we doing a call-in?
Well,
is this live?
We want
to
do that.
He claims to have it memorized, and the people can't tell.
It doesn't look
it's
like
it. It's 619-238-0532.
Ooh, that was so close. It's 438. 619-438.
You got the 619 right.
Yeah.
0532.
That was really good.
619-438-0532. Give us a call. Let us know what you're watching. All that fun stuff.
Yes.
Let's.
Life's a binge.
Right.
So binge as in like doing too much of one thing at a time?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Which, don't you guys do that with Netflix and all these on-demand
shows? Binge
taking,
yeah, binge watching. Exactly, you know?
Right.
Just started watching Project Runway.
Really?
Yeah. And I know, I know.
See that little like, burr?
Excuse me? I will watch anything that like, you know, once you start and you just get into it. My girlfriend and I started watching this. And I know that show's been on for, what, 100,000 seasons or whatever? I'd never seen it before. And it's really captivating. It's really
funny.
Is
she a fan? Or?
She is. We both like all of these contesty kind of shows.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We watched Skin Wars. And,
is that the ink one?
That's the ink one. We watched the Tattoo Nightmares one.
That's good.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. That one's the greatest. And then there's cooking shows ones. She doesn't like those, but those are my favorite ones, all the cooking contests.
Oh, I enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
I've been into that a long time.
Big on the cooking shows.
Yeah, I love the cooking shows. Steampunked, we really like that one.
No, is that a design one?
It was like a design one, yeah. So this is similar, and like they do weird stuff. They're like, models, you're going to have to wear stilts. And they have to design clothes for people wearing stilts, and then they come out trying to model wearing stilts. It's just hilarious.
That's awesome.
And my favorite character, because I just started binge-watching this, so it's like right in my head, but there's a guy, who I think his name is like Ted or Tim Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
He's like this old guy. You know who I'm talking about?
Guy, oh, yeah. Really, he's always well-dressed.
The guy is amazing.
Yeah.
He comes in, and he's got this look on his face. No matter what he's looking at, like he's just going to throw up on it. You know what I mean? But then he's always complimentary. He just comes in, he's like, oh, that is divine.
Yeah.
That's, God, what a, this just choice of fabrics is fantastic. Making it work.
I think that's where you were going with
you know,
that.
It's his face. Everything about him looks like he's going to just shit all over their clothes. Just like, this is the worst design I've ever seen. Look at my face. I hate what you've done. But he's like, this is fabulous. And I can't wait to see more. You know, that's I love great. That guy. That show is the best. So, that's the new one I'm watching right now.
Right on.
But I end up binge watching all the time.
It's
once you start.
Yeah.
Hulu wants to make you switch.
Netflix, you know. Netflix Hulu's finally like, knows, though. They're like, they stopped with the are you still watching thing.
Oh, they got rid of that?
Oh, really?
As far as I know, I haven't seen it. It's just, especially with the Netflix originals anyway.
They like, already know you're still watching.
Well, the Netflix originals do something different than they do on the other shows. So if you're watching.
They cut out the stuff, yeah.
What do they do?
They cut out the, it goes, it kind of like makes the.
They don't have commercials. That's what
No. So, like, if you're, say you're watching, like, credits. I like to put on, like, The Office or That 70s Show, right? And so, if I'm watching That 70s Show, at the end of that episode, there'll be a countdown timer, and it'll say, like, you know, in 30 seconds, the next one will
goes
start.
Right, yeah, okay.
But it takes about 30 seconds. If you're watching a Netflix original, as soon as that episode's over, the timer starts, and it's like 4 seconds.
And it goes to
and
the next
it just
one.
Goes
and
right to the next one.
It skips the intro?
It skips the intro. Oh. And it's like they are 1,000,000% encouraging better than like other shows. They're like,
so Netflix
these other ones will play the next one, but you're going to have to wait a minute. Netflix ones are like, here's about
real.
4 seconds, and boom, you're right there.
That's good business. Like,
they're binge. What is it? They're purveyors of binge. No, they're. Yeah. What's the opposite? They're supporting our binging.
Oh yeah,
Hulu like
they're enablers.
Enablers. Thank you. They're enabling binging on Hulu. You watch the episode of something, and then it ends, and then they go, and now we're gonna watch something else, and it's just gonna start,
that.
And we're like, no, go back. We have 18 more Project Runways. You know?
Yeah, since you're watching this, you might also like.
That's
like,
No. I don't like, and they just start going right into some other show.
So you have Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu, and Hulu has commercials. It's all full of commercials. And it'll be the same commercial.
Over and over.
Yeah, every
especially
break.
On those, yeah.
And when you're binge-watching, you start to, like, I'm going to pull my hair out. Like, the same fucking commercial again?
Yeah.
Like, no way! Don't they know? I've watched 4 episodes of this. I've seen this commercial now 40 times.
Now, but I'm like, is that, might be hyper, like, effective.
Do you think that works?
Maybe.
No.
Yeah, I wonder.
I want to kill whoever, like that, whatever the product is. I'm like, just mental note, don't ever support this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In principle, like,
never
just
support
principle alone.
Yeah, buy
like,
their rival, whatever it is. You're going to make me drink Pepsi, goddammit. You know?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know why. I love that Netflix doesn't have commercials.
Great.
That's the best thing
about it. Yep, it is quite wonderful.
So, now, have you heard about the new Netflix deal that just started? Like today, or it's been announced today.
No. Is it good news? I know they were like $20 billion in debt or something, right?
Well, I don't know. Well, so Disney is going to bring out their own like streaming service.
Yes.
Oh. Crap.
And so they ended like their relationship with Netflix. So that's going to.
That's really bad for.
That's too bad for Netflix. But Netflix is still growing pretty steadily.
Yeah.
But they came out with a new thing for watching movies in the theater. It's a what? So for $10 a month.
Yeah.
You can go, that's Netflix that did
that's
that?
It's the same owner, people who did okay. Netflix.
Yeah.
That for $10 a month, you can go to a movie a day.
What?
Yep. Up to one movie a day.
No.
Yes. I'm telling you.
I saw something. $10 I didn't a month, think it was Netflix, $9.99
a month.
It's you mean you can go to Netflix, what, like 30 movies a month, or what's the limit? Just that's just the limit is one a day.
One a day, so you could go to for like, $10.
That's crazy.
Dear Regal Cinema, I would. Wait, like
that
to
doesn't
see.
Even make sense. Like it so costs like $20 to go to the movies.
Right. So this is why I have to buy it while it's available, which is pretty soon.
And but it doesn't include Disney movies or whatever.
No, I think the only things it doesn't include is 3D. And IMAX, which I very rarely want to watch those anyway. Like I'm just
like the IMAX. Those are cool.
IMAX are cool.
Yeah.
And for certain things, you could probably pay for that, and you still wouldn't lose out too much.
The new Spider-Man. I wanted to see that in IMAX. I wish I had seen that in IMAX.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
But $10 a month to watch 30 movies.
That's
insane. I can't believe that.
Up to 30 movies.
Because I saw crazy. Something
so they,
like
what they
that,
do is
but...
apparently they subsidize the movie theater for the tickets. So I don't quite, I can't quite put it together what the drive is. You know, like what's their inspiration?
Yeah, where do they
for
make?
This?
How do they make money off? Just the people that are so
angle.
Lazy they won't even watch one movie a month.
Then what they're saying is that because we want the people to experience movies in the theater the way that a lot of these movies were intended to be seen on a big screen.
Right.
And so...
with a giant bathtub full of Coke.
Yeah. Well, you know what I want? Yes, that's how everyone should see
the movie. That's my favorite thing at the movies now is how they let you make your own soda at that kiosk.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll make like a Coke Zero Madness Masterpiece Suicide Machine or whatever those are called.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love those. It's such an excuse to... just be bad.
It's well, but that's
Coke Zero,
too.
So I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's
Coke Zero
so
Orange,
bad.
Coke Zero Cherry.
See now,
my girlfriend's like,
this
is disgusting. I'm like, I love it.
Does she like Coke or Diet Coke?
I don't think she likes
either of them. Does
either,
she like,
no.
Because I've been drinking Diet Coke forever, so like regular Coke and Coke Zero, like.
Oh really? Me. I don't. Yeah, yeah. I like. I like Coke Zero.
It just tastes.
I know
it
it's
tastes like
probably
Coke.
Terrible for you, but you know.
Probably all the sodas.
I only drink it when I go to the movies.
Huh.
Not once animal. Per day.
Yeah,
I go once.
16
I go once
ounces.
Per day just for the. You know.
Well, not only do they encourage like small to get the big one as is, but like you're like okay, looking at the price, the big one's only like 15 cents more,
right?
Right.
And then like the large one, you're like that's only 30 cents more, and then they're like, and you can get free refills, and so I get the, and I'm like, if I get that large popcorn, I'm gonna eat it. And then they're telling me that once I eat all that, I can go get more.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do
or
I
what you
really
can do is take that giant tub
one?
Of popcorn. You pay a quarter more. You just empty the popcorn. You fill that up with soda.
Right.
And you go to your seat. And you actually sit in that in your seat. It's like a hot tub full of Coke Zero. Yeah. Oh God, I love the movies though.
So So I figure what they could probably make money on too is like kind of like SeaWorld where. People who come, who pay once and come six times, they're still going to buy.
They're going to buy popcorn in
the movies. Yeah, so I'm sure they're going to make money back a little bit.
If they can get more people to the movie theaters, it's probably worth it for them if they got some back end.
Yeah, but I still don't know how. I don't know how that. It doesn't matter. I'm going to take advantage.
If that's real though, I would do that for $10. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can't even go to the movies once for $10. It's going to cost at least
that's what I was saying.
It's like $17 I want to say for a regular ticket. I think it's $20 for IMAX.
Yeah, if you go and maybe you can get it for $10.
Is there's got to be some like maybe matinee only like maybe before noon stipulation or something like.
I like going on like a Sunday or Monday night if possible when there's no one there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because every time I go on the weekend, I get stuck in those shitty seats where I'm, like, staring up my neck. You know, I hate that.
That's no good. You ever go in, take in, a big release movie with a big crowd?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have done that.
Because I get a kick out of that.
That's sometimes. Cool. My girlfriend likes that. She's like, she prefers that, you know, the experience.
It is
I'm
fun. Like,
I don't
this camaraderie.
I don't like that many people around and having to fight to sit, you know, and then they're talking and I'm like, shut up, you know,
be quiet.
Yeah.
And everyone, especially as a comedian, everyone's like, this is my one chance to, oh, like, God. To like be funny.
No, I'm going to say something great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it's, you know, it's hard to go to the movies now with, you got a good, like, everything on demand, all the movies, and you can rewind them and pause them, and, you know, they need a real reason for us to go to the movies, so I think Netflix might have figured that one out for $10. Hey. Here's my question, though. Disney streaming service, what is that going to be? I love Disney.
Well, see, that's what I'm curious about, because when they originally said that they were going to be Netflix exclusive, there was this rumor that they're going to have the whole catalog and whatever. Oh, wow. And so I'm wondering if Disney does that, if they just plug away, like, here's everything, like, you can watch Swiss Family Robinson whenever you want. Like, are they going to have all that stuff?
All those old,
like,
movies you can't get.
Right.
Ever.
They're like, you can't. Like, if you want to watch Pinocchio, you're like, sorry, you're screwed. It's locked up. So are they going to, like, I don't understand.
Are they
going to
open the vaults if you pay for it?
What's the point of paying?
Because they could do that because it'll be streaming. You won't actually have it. You'll be paying for it, like always.
Yeah.
Disney knows what they're doing. They never let you buy anything, no. Disney. They're like, you want to check this out?
You can have it for a little bit.
Like, the only thing I own, I kept my old, like, Disney VHSs for a while, just going like, well, I at least I've
those
got this one.
Supposed to be, like, worth I've something.
Robin now. Hood on VHS, you know? Dumbo, I can't give this up.
Now, that Robin Hood, that's the one with the fox?
Yeah.
The fox. Mm-hmm. Oh, so man. I used to have a little Fisher-Price, like, viewer.
Oh.
And you pop them cassettes.
Those old Disney movies are awesome. Like,
and you could see them on that. Yeah,
they're
you watch
so
that.
Good. The Jungle Book. Remember the old Jungle Book?
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Dumbo's great. Pinocchio. All those old movies.
All the classics.
I love those.
They're all great.
And now they're going to have all the Marvel stuff, too. So I assume that they're going to have all the new, when Avengers comes out, when all the new Marvel comes out,
yeah,
that'll be on
their
the Disney.
Service.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
well, they were saying that they
locked this shit down.
I hate Disney so much.
Oh, they know what's up.
Well, they were saying that
frozen Disney brain is really working overtime.
They weren't going to have the Marvel and Star Wars stuff on the streaming one
because
it was supposed to just be Disney. So, like, anything Lucasfilm or Marvel, they were saying that they were maybe going to do an offshoot and you got to pay more for that.
I mean, what's even left for them to, they're going to, it's like Disney.
They just need to buy Warner Brothers and just be like, okay, we got it all.
Yeah.
We got all of it.
Oh my gosh, Disney, they're crushing it.
Well, and that's the thing that bugs me about Disney is that I love Disney stuff.
Yeah.
I love their product. I love the idea of Disney and everything. But at the same time, I hate them because they could make everything cheaper. But instead, they make it more expensive.
Yeah.
It's like, how much more money do you need, Disney? Like,
yeah.
We're all going to buy it anyway. Like, what hell?
It takes a lot of money to fuel that Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. It just blows my mind.
Now,
yeah.
You ever heard there was a speculation that Apple was going to purchase Disney?
Oh, wow.
I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Who's bigger at
this
point?
I thought Disney was going to try and buy Apple.
You know, those big level things, those are how it'll happen, too. Like,
incredible.
I heard that you want to buy me. I'll buy you, motherfucker.
Yeah, seriously.
No one buys
you
me.
Apple. I know, right?
But, yeah, that kind of, there's something wrong with that. That's just too much growth.
Too much monopoly.
Too much controlling, yeah. Of
yeah.
Well, that's a political issue.
It's crazy.
Well. I think that's the Telecommunications Act. Under Clinton, I think, that allowed these media monopolies to, like, grow to gigantic sizes. But I'm not really qualified
no idea.
To say.
Who owns Twitter? I'm assuming it's Trump because he's just bringing it back. he have most of the stock in Twitter?
Maybe.
Nobody ever fucking was thinking about Twitter again. He's like... Brought Twitter back.
I could never get on Twitter. So did you tweet?
No, it's
did
not
you ever
really.
Tweet?
A little. I mean, it's like shouting into the abyss. I
don't
send
get
out
it.
A tweet, I get nothing back.
The only
why
time I
don't
had
know
fun
why.
Tweeting was when I was live tweeting something.
Yeah.
Like I watched like State of the Union and I was like live tweeting. And I was like, look, people are paying attention.
Oh,
and then like
cool.
I send a joke out and it's like. Nothing on that, huh? No. Oh, I got 12
like
followers all of a sudden. Great.
You get a tweet back from a cricket.
Right.
It's like hashtag chirp, chirp.
Oh my God, that'd be so funny to create like a cricket
that
Twitter account.
That would be funny.
And just literally like hunt and troll the
just
shit out of Twitter.
Cricket.
It's like cricket,
yeah.
Cricket.
Oh, that'd be brutal. That's how I feel like all my
roll.
Tweets.
Oh God, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be good stuff.
That's the only reason to be on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. The monopolies, it's like, it's crazy. We're watching HBO right now. They got like, I can't get off the HBO. I try to stop paying for HBO, and then they come like, Game of Thrones is coming back.
Yeah, oh, damn it.
You know you want it.
So how many of these HBO shows have you seen?
I loved True Detective.
Both of them, huh?
I really liked the first one. The second one I didn't like as much, but I thought it had some great stuff. I thought some of the acting was good, except for Vince Vaughn. Did you see the second True Detective?
I saw it.
Like Vince Vaughn. I just thought it was a bad casting. It wasn't the right role for him.
I have to agree with that. But I did, and I love Rachel McAdam.
I liked her very much.
She's great.
I thought she was very good.
But that storyline just never, it was never that.
It was a little too dark. I think it was like humorless. That was my problem with it. The first True Detective had a little balance there. There was a little quirkiness of between Woody Harrelson and McConaughey. Uh-huh. They like had some sort of indirect comical moments, sort of. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
bit of levity in there.
Yeah.
I feel like when you take it out, you make it 100% dark. It's like the reason why Marvel's better than DC movies.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Yep. It's mirthless. It's like there's no joy in this at all. You know? Yeah. And that was my problem with the second True Detective, was it was too dark. But I did think that the acting, there was the guy, Taylor something, who played like the motorcycle cop, who was struggling with his sexuality and stuff. Do you remember that character?
Kind of.
I thought that was the best acting we've seen in any of the True Detective. Like, I thought he was
interesting,
riveting. I thought he was amazing.
Check that out. Part of me wants to see it again because
his acting, I thought, was so, he was so intense. And I used to want to really be an actor. So I'd like to look at that and I go, God, that guy's really good. He's really good. I think a lot of the people on Game of Thrones are really good.
Yeah.
Well, that's not it's not like a pro athlete. It's not like that dream has to.
No, I'm just anywhere. Saying, like, you know, but that's. No, I hear you.
You still want to do something?
Well, I pulled my acting hamstring, so I don't.
I can't do it anymore.
I'll tell you what I'd really love to do is voice acting. If I could do anything, it would be voice acting.
That's the dream.
That would be my dream.
It's funny because like, I've always said, like, man, it'd be great if I could do like voiceovers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I never tried to pursue it at all. It's like, maybe one day somebody will hear me and do something.
My boy Dave on and talk about, so a friend of mine, Dave Smith, who used to be a DJ here in town. Crazy Dave, and he does a lot of voiceover stuff.
He does? Yeah, it would be good. Like,
outside of, like, theme park world?
He does, like, books. He does, like, books on tape for folks.
Oh,
like,
see, I would love to do that.
Yeah, he does, like, lots of that stuff. He does corporate stuff, like for training videos,
industrial videos and stuff.
Yeah, it was my dad's birthday today. I was just talking to him on the phone about the audiobooks. Do you remember the episode of Seinfeld where George is trying to read this textbook, but he says, I can't read. Every time I read, all I hear is my own annoying voice in my head. Right. I need to do something else. And Jerry's like, well, why don't you try like an audiobook? Because he's on the train with this deaf guy, and the guy's listening to something. He goes, what are you listening to? Oh, books on tape. He goes, these things have ruined me for Braille. these are the best. So George, finagles through the blind, books on tape.
Oh, is it for like, because he has a book? He has a, is it a book of the month club? But
I think it is.
He doesn't want to read the book.
Maybe that's what it is, a book of the month. I thought it was a textbook, but maybe it's a book of the month. And they send him the audio of it, the audiobook version. And he turns it on, and the narrator sounds exactly like George.
Just like George.
He's like, and he's like, I can't listen to this. It's so funny.
God, Seinfeld was brilliant.
Oh, it's the best. So good.
It's still like... For Hulu, it's so great. Boom, so put it on. There are commercials, but...
It's so funny.
Yeah, that show's brilliant.
Yeah, I argue with Bajan about it. He never liked that show. He always liked Friends, and I'm like, I can't watch Friends. First of all, they're all too good-looking on Friends. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Nobody's that good-looking all the time. And I don't like how cheesy it is. You know what I mean? I like how sort of, like I didn't when I was a kid. There was something about Seinfeld, how mean it was, that turned me off. But later, I got to enjoy it more.
Oh yeah,
and Friends. I don't know. It's just too
sweet.
I've never got through a full episode of Friends. That's my
oh wow,
that's pretty impressive.
My cross to bear.
Well done.
You know, I don't know what it is. That, I think
I know they both have that shitty laugh track thing going, and that sucks for both of them. But there's something about. If I'm sitting there and Friends is on and there's a laugh track, I go, just shoot me in the fucking face.
Now, is there a particular character that, like, shows up and, like...
I don't know. I haven't watched enough of them. I know they all have great hair. And I know that's true. What they're famous for, yeah, really, is Jennifer Aniston and her great hair.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm watching it and she's just adjusting her hair back and forth, I'm like, why am I watching this? It does nothing for
me. That's valid.
So it's a weird criticism.
We've talked about a lot of different TV shows, but yes, we haven't talked to the fact that you host a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pseudo. It's like a pseudo TV show, we say now.
It's a TV show.
It is.
Why do you say pseudo?
I'm just kidding. Well, because we were on CW6 for like 5 seconds.
Oh, so you're not on that any longer.
We're not. We're on KSDY Channel 50. Sometimes, I think. I don't know. In between the Spanish programming that they have on 90% of the time.
So that's one that I get on my antenna.
You get it on your antenna, so it's really, we're really going to the future with this one.
You know,
you can also get it on AT&T UVerse.
Oh, okay.
And when the first show was broadcast, it was really funny. They went to turn it on Channel 50, and it turned on, and it was just big tits on screen. It was like,
what?
It was like it was like a Mexican programming show, and it was like, ay, and she had tits, and I was like, this show's gonna be a fucking hit, Paula. You know, I think we've got something here. And then they would like switch the channels, like 50.1 or whatever, right. And they're like, there's my ugly mug. So it's like, go back to the tits. Yeah. You know? But yeah, it's a fun thing. I'm on a hiatus right now, which is great.
Hiatus for
a month off from shooting, so right, we film like in a 12-week block, and then I get a month off, so I'm in the month off right now.
And so that's just kind of 12 weeks on,
that's
month
how,
off,
yeah,
12 weeks on, month
that's
off.
How he does it.
So who's he now?
Fale, that's our producer, the creator of the show. I don't know if that's a standard, probably not, I have no idea, but we do 12 episode blocks, and then we take like 4 weeks off.
But this show has been going now for a few years.
Yep. It was like a YouTube show first and Facebook and all that. And probably, I don't know, MySpace. I don't know. It was like a couple years old, and I started as just a comic. I came on.
And that was like how many years ago?
I think it's like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe it's four now because I'm not good with time. Uh-huh. But my friend Lauren O'Brien was a guest on the show, and so I went to support her. And I got to be friends with her and her friend Meryl that works on the show. And so I just went to support Lauren, and then Lauren got me a spot to perform on it. So I got to do stand-up. And I remember thinking, doing stand-up on a talk show sucks.
Now, why is that?
It was hard. Well,
because it's not the normal
connection. It was weird. Yeah, it was like they're doing it at a studio, and there's like a person sitting in their desk right like next. Like there was like a guy in a desk like right behind me, and I'm standing on the floor, and there's like people in chairs like I'm right in front of them. And it was just weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not, yeah.
Comedy, people don't realize comedy, it just sucks to do it. There's more to that sentence. It sucks to do it outside of comedy clubs, kind of. Uh-huh. You know, like, it's really great doing it in comedy clubs because people come to the comedy club
for, right,
to see you do comedy, you know? Right. And every other time when you hijack them into watching your thing that you love, it's always disappointing.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, I'm at this bar, and I came here to drink 8 beers, yeah, and to watch football, exactly, and who's this chump?
Right. I'm here to work on my essay at this coffee shop,
right,
and there's this idiot talking about masturbating. You know?
That's funny.
So, I don't know. Sometimes I get offers to do things, and I say no because I just can't bear the humiliation of it. You know, because it can be very embarrassing.
Well, I think
whenever they ask you, like, hey, it's going to be all rock bands and you, I go, no, I'd rather watch Friends, you know.
That's a tale as old as time, it seems like, about some rock band, famous rock band that Richard Pryor was opening for, or some comedian George Carlin was opening for, and like
Stones. Works for if you're Richard Pryor or George Carlin or something.
Or
but when you're just me
not,
and they're
bro,
not
yeah,
there to see me, and they're like, "We wanted to see Rivethead or whatever," you know, get off the stage. And I'm just like, "So I was watching Friends," and they're like, "Shut up, go to hell!" Like the worst show I ever did was opening up for my friend's pop punk band. Me and Bob Hansen had to do like 15 minutes a piece in front of all their, like, all these, like, hot chick, like, groupie fans of the band. And the band was right behind us.
The whole time?
Sound checking.
No.
Through our set.
No.
I don't think I could possibly convey the level of humiliation when you're telling us, you're starting the setup, and right when you get to, like, the critical, like, punchline moment, some douchebag, like, strums his electric guitar right through. He's just like, and then you just look around like no one heard that, right? And you're like, oh, it's the worst. That was the worst.
That's
experience.
Awful.
That's like a nightmare.
It was awful.
Yeah, that's like
I never forgave that guy that booked me for that.
Yeah, no thanks.
I can't. He was just like, dude, that was cool. Thanks for doing it. And I was like, I'll never speak to you again.
Yeah, you're the devil. Thank you for
you're
that.
You're the devil.
By the way.
I hate you. Because I still like that sticks with me. I've done comedy 10 years, and the pain of that show, I'll never forget that. You know?
It's going to take a long time.
It's really embarrassing.
You know what's impressive, though, is that that wasn't the end of you.
Yeah.
Like, I did comedy back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, until I did poorly.
That's right. Really? Yeah.
That's what ended
that was it.
You had one bad show, and you're like, oh, I'm out of
kinda.
This.
And, I mean, kinda.
That.
That's like, that fun. Like, I did in Portland. We had that Silver Dollar Pizza back in the day, and there was the open mic night thing to do, and that was the place in Portland for open mic comedy. And I used to do it there at the end of the contest, and I'd do pretty good, everything was always received well, and then moved up to Seattle and started doing some open mics there.
Okay.
And then it was like, maybe it wasn't just the one time. I probably had a lot of shit going on in my head in my early 20s. But I remember like it being received, like it just didn't go over well. And it's so naked. I mean, there's no other actors to lean on. There's no like script to blame. It's
which is the
freaking,
thing I love
really
about
naked.
It, too.
It's great,
you know?
Yeah.
Like
it's raw.
I was saying to my dad on the phone today that it's like such a relief to just go back to stand-up after hosting this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being a talk show host is really hard. Like, it's... I know that
different.
Sounds... Isn't that sound like a white privilege complaint, right? Like, being a talk show host is really hard.
You guys,
it's like, God.
You guys.
Like, when they don't have your coffee, and you're like, where's my coffee? No. But compared to stand-up, which I just love stand-up, it's like, you know, like you say, it's your own script.
Uh-huh.
It's your own merit. It's just you. Mm-hmm. And the crowd, and it's just such a brilliant, fun, amazing experience. But being a host where it's like, I got to interview this person, and then I got to prep for this sketch, and then I got to introduce this live thing, and then I got to do these, do these headline jokes, this monologue thing, and it's a lot to juggle and a lot of things that are just various, they're just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you got to wear this suit, and you got to smile, and you got to say hi to the cameras, and you got to, and then when you go back to just stand up, you're like, wait, I can wear like a sweatshirt and just
right.
like,
I just get to say what I want to
say. Just
say
whatever at whatever pace. Nobody's going to go, you know, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. That's enough. We got the Ninja Turtles next. Get the, you're like, oh God, you know, it's so hard to wrap it up. Like it's in the middle of a sentence. And I'm like, okay, so we're done. Shut up. Get off. You know, like,
right.
Anyway. And then the other thing is, oh God, like interviewing those bands is the most difficult thing.
Why?
You guys ever have bands?
Media.
Well, that's
they're
what I don't understand. Like, unless it's like a big, even on like Tonight Show or
they
or
usually
whatever,
don't interview
they just
the bands.
Play the song.
They don't. They
and,
let
then,
the
and then it's
music
like, okay, unless it's like a big, big name person, they'll maybe talk to them. But it's like,
that's always my argument with the producers.
But it's like,
why do I have to
talk
the bands?
To the band?
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. Like, just let them play the song.
It doesn't go well.
Yeah, they can really suck the energy out, you know. But.
They don't want to speak. They want to play their music.
Right.
They're, you know, amazing at their art. Why are we forcing them to sit on a couch and do this small talk? It feels fake when I do it, but God, it must feel so fake when, like, a punk rock band is like, yeah, our next project. You know what? Go fuck yourself. Like, that's what he wants to tell me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't blame him. But there's so many times where I'm doing the band interview and I'm like, now I don't even want to hear your music. I like, I already, like, you know, like, I want to like
you,
but
you're
such dicks. Like,
right.
Or, you know, like, or maybe they're not dicks. They're just like shy because you're making them do this thing way out of their comfort zone.
Right.
And, like, sometimes they'll wear sunglasses, and you can't really talk to someone wearing sunglasses that well. It's hard to connect with them. You can't see. And then, like, the whole interview goes, and it's like a dud, and then they take the sunglasses off and look at you like, how'd that go? And I'm like, oh, we're starting now.
Yeah.
Like, almost. We got, you know. I had I've had some really fun like moments where I'm interviewing the guest upstairs and it's like this interesting story and I'm like, oh, okay, and I'll probably ask you about this, like, what is this fusion music thing that you do? Like, so okay, I don't want the answers now because don't give them, if you give them to me now, then once we get on camera
it's
you probably
gonna be
won't
weird.
Right?
Right,
they won't be
It's not going to be organic.
They'll give me sort of like the truncated version of it, and I want like the full story for the first time to like react to it. So I had this woman on, and I asked her the same question like that I thought was going to be an interesting answer, and it was like, imagine the question was like, I'm asking her about her fusion, whatever this thing is. Like, so what is speed country or whatever the, you know?
Right.
And she just goes, Google it.
Oh. And we're off to commercial.
I was like, we do have some few minutes left. We have time. If you want to just tell me real quick what that is, I will Google it later. And it was, right. I'd never been told to Google it. Like, what are you in such a rush?
That's,
you
know, so funny.
Just Google it.
You understand, like, we are doing
that's
live
like
television.
How phoned in is this interview now? Where you're just like, Google it.
Google it.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh God. I had another one where the band comes out. I didn't know they were gonna do this, but it was a two-piece band. Two members of the band. They come out to the interview. They're wearing like masks. They're wearing like, and I don't mean masks like Halloween mask. I mean mask like African giant wooden cover, like sure. The alien head, like the entire tiki torch on the front of your goddamn head, like their whole head covered with a fucking mask, right? I don't even know how they got mic'd necessarily, like, and I'm trying to talk to them. I can't see their face. I can't hear what they're saying at all. And then,
what's it like to be in a band?
Yeah. It's really good.
We love it. It's
really
great.
Yeah. It's really good.
Frosted Flakes.
You know, and then at one point, the chick in the band, I guess, got so bored with it too. She had come out and met me earlier and sat on the couch, and I didn't realize she did this. She hid a fucking thing of peanuts in the cushion. And then during the interview, at some point, she's bored. She goes, oh, looks like they left snacks here for me. And opens up the peanuts and starts eating them on camera. I'm like, God damn it. I'm trying to interview. I ask her a question. She's just chewing peanuts. I literally didn't even know what to do. I'm like, hey, can I have some? And I like reached out my hand. She gave me some peanuts. We're just eating peanuts. I'm like, look up at the producer. We're both eating peanuts. I'm like, this is what happens when you make me interview the goddamn band. Yeah. You know,
like, well, that's like, fucking just moral of that story. It just doesn't make sense. It's like, don't you want to like portray... I don't know.
I mean, they're portraying sort of their vibe of like mystique, and you know, we're not cool. We're cooler.
I'm sure
we're cooler than you.
Yeah.
You're the man. I guess for me, I hate being felt like the man. Like I don't. That's not me. I feel weird about that. And it's just strange. It's already strange, like to have short hair and be in a suit and being like a talk show host, but then on top of it to be made to feel uncool by these bands.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to flip out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me get back to stand up, please. So.
Yeah. Well, and so you're big, pretty big name in San Diego comedy.
I guess if that means, something.
Means you get to host a show?
I guess so.
I mean, host a show, a talk show, you host a comedian podcast, you pretty much know all the San Diego stand-ups.
I guess if you've been here long enough and you don't move to LA, you better do something. Right. Like, you know, otherwise it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Does LA ever call your name?
Yeah, well, I mean, I should go up there, but that's on me. My thing is, like, I tried to sort of get good at stand-up, and I think you can get better at stand-up where you're at than going to LA. Because in L.A., you never get any stage time. And most of the guys that I came up with from the Comedy Store days, a lot of them left and went to L.A. And a couple of them have made it big on other things, like Roast Battle with Brian Moses and stuff like that. But a lot of the other guys, they just don't get any stage time. Because you're up there with the greatest comics in the world. Mm-hmm. And you're all vying for the same amount of stage time. So if you weren't already ready, it's a hard place to get better.
Right.
So... the advice I always got from Lou Brockman, who's the keyboard player at the Comedy Store, he always would tell me, when you have like an hour of A material that's clean, you're ready for LA. And until that point, I just kept trying to work toward that. And when I think about A material, that's like stuff that is going to kill like 99 out of 100 times on the road in other places, not just San Diego.
Right.
So you have to work all that stuff out. And I have about, 45 minutes. But I still don't think I want to go to LA just because I like to sort of carve out what I've got here. See what I can do here. With everybody leaving too. Yeah. There's like corporate gigs and things you can pick up here that are like, you know, decent work, and they need clean people that can work clean, and they got nobody because everybody else has left.
Right.
So I'm just trying to make the most of that, really, you know. My best friend moved to LA, Anthony, who I moved out here to San Diego with, and he died up there. He got cancer and died. And I used to go up and visit him every weekend, like take the train, or my friend Mo and I would drive up there. So I have a lot of weird memories caught up in like LA, and so I've never been like dying to uproot everything and go there, because yeah. I just have a lot of mixed feelings, a lot of mixed feelings about it, you know.
Well, and then do you have a lot of San Diego exclusive material type stuff? Because I went to New York. I was doing a show in like the Fringe Festival, and I was like, I'm gonna pop in and watch some stand up. This will be fun.
Yeah.
And like they were just like, I was talking to this chick, and she was like, "Yeah, you can take me home." And she got on the B train, and I was like,
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What?" Yeah. That's apparently funny because the B train is bad.
My friend Bob,
I had no idea. Yeah. I was like, whoosh.
Totally.
I was like, "I'm here." Like what the hell are you talking about?
You know, that's a good point. My friend Bob, that lives in New York now, who I started stand up with out here, he says that a lot, that the New York scene is so sort of insular that they all have subway material.
Yeah.
And they kind of get trapped in there because they're not even driving outside of the city, really. Their whole life is very much similar to other comics. So I guess that's a big thing. And that's like, why, you know, I guess it's good advice to get out and go on the road once in a while and figure out, like, does this joke work in Iowa? You know,
because
I've had that happen. We went to Boise and I tried some stuff on, you know, kale and yoga, like California kind of stuff. They weren't feeling it, you know. So it was like, you got to modify the act to try to make it work everywhere.
Because like from here to L.A., mostly, I'd imagine the jokes would be the same,
Absolutely.
But like, when I said, I was in
East
New York,
Coast
I was like,
totally
I don't understand
different.
Anything you're talking about right now. Like, it's so, it's like centric.
Need some pretty universal topics, and then somehow make that unique,
right?
You know, I think that's the goal, is like, rather than take something that's so narrow that nobody can identify with it unless they live in Queens or whatever, or OB.
Right.
Because I've had jokes like that over the years of like, you know, why don't I throw this away? This joke is worthless everywhere outside of this 10-block radius.
Right.
You know, I used to write all kinds of stuff for OB, and it's like, what the hell? I still have stuff, but if I can extend it to a greater audience, like, I live by a beach. I live at it's a hippie town. You know, then it's sort of like, okay, I get what the overall premise is, as opposed to like 90210 fucking, you know. Like,
yeah. So I was at Winston's the other day.
Yeah.
And
you know,
what?
You guys know when you're like at the Arizona Cafe and, you know, shitting in the sink or whatever.
Yeah, it was just so funny. Like, and I'm sure what the guy was saying was hilarious. But
especially
I was
if
like,
you live there, Rob.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. And I think like the SNL, the Californian skit,
so
where they just nailed.
That's so funny.
Like the voice is dumb or whatever, but like when they nailed, like,
oh my God.
You hop on the 405 and then go to the 52 and then go to the 16. Like apparently that's literally what we do.
Yeah.
Like nobody else says the and then the number free, like the 5. That's apparently bizarre.
You know what? I've lived
hell.
In San Diego now so long that I didn't even realize.
Yeah,
like,
that's a
thing. I grew up in D.C., in Northern Virginia and D.C. area.
Interstate 407.
I don't remember.
Highway 8. We say the. It's just the. Yeah, we are lazy. We can't say Interstate 5. Fuck that. The 5.
I remember 95 South. That's what we used to take. I'm on 95 South.
It's just
I don't know.
Funny.
Is that different? You would say the 95 South
I don't
out
know.
Here?
We would just say the
95 South. We would say the 95?
The 95.
You get on the Banfield. You get on the 84.
It's just the I-5. Yep.
Yeah, it's not the I-5, though. No. You get on the 5, it's
the
I-5.
The 5. I would never say I-5. I would never say you take I-5.
We
I would never say
like,
that.
Never, ever say that.
I wouldn't.
I'm a Californian.
I would say no, John, just
dudes,
because
let's take the high five. Radical.
It's just funny, like, those little small things that you don't necessarily realize until you don't. You're looking on the outside or whatever.
I think, you know, you get caught up wherever you live of like, this is how life is. And I think that's a problem in politics, too, of people really not identifying with other people, you know,
not being and able just to relate,
not right. being able to relate and just being like, I know my experience. Who are these weirdos over here?
Yeah.
On different sides. But it's like the coasts, we have our own sort of culture. And then there's like a lot of other stuff going on that we're probably not aware of, you know? So I like traveling and doing comedy on the road and meeting people and like going around the town and seeing, and I haven't done it a lot lately, but every time I've done it in the past, I feel like it's a really good learning experience for my stand up where by the end of the trip, I'm a better comedian than I was at the beginning of the trip. As long as I'm going to a bunch of different places, you know? Right. So I think that's important.
So, I'm going to guess it was probably 4 years ago or so, maybe not quite that long, but I saw you opening for Doug Stanhope at the Winston Show.
Winston's OB, bro.
And that...
that was fun.
Was that your best set ever? I'm telling you, that was so money. And it was the
I opened
so
for more than once, so I'm not sure
For Doug Stanhope?
Yeah, I opened for more than once there. But I remember there was one... I do remember there was one... that I went on right before him that went
You were the only one
well.
That night. Like okay. that was when you were the only opener that night.
I just remember I closed, I think I did this Eskimo bit, Eskimo puns, and I remember him referencing it and him going, well, shit, I was going to talk about Eskimos for 10 minutes. And it was like, it was a great moment for me because it meant he was listening to what I did.
Yeah.
And he thought it was funny and the crowd laughed and the crowd thought it, the whole thing was very validating.
No, I remember him referencing you.
Feelings about it, yeah. And I felt very good about it. But in another way, though, because after that show, him and his manager and a couple of the comics, we went to like shoot pool together. And he didn't really talk to me too much. Not that I was like trying to like, oh, let me, you know, ear hijack Doug Stanhope, but he's like a legend to comics and underground comics, especially like so. I think what happened was he was trying to just riff out a whole bunch of new stuff, and I was trying to do my best goddamn 15 right. minutes of material that I could possibly
fucking do. No, that was absolutely what was happening. Like, yeah, he was working
bits out.
He
even said, he's like, I was just going to fucking workshop some stuff for my hardcore fans. These people are like hanging on every word. He has this cult following, and they are there for any story, anything he wants to talk about. And he was just kind of meandering that night. Whereas I'd seen him there before doing his act like material, and it was different sort of vibe wise.
Yeah.
So I felt like maybe I made the wrong choice, but at the same time, I always think you should try to do your best.
Nah,
you know?
I don't think so.
I just think it didn't connect me to him. It didn't make him go, let me hang it. You know.
Well, as someone in the audience, it certainly felt like everyone knew what they were getting. Like they knew that they were going to get Doug Stanhope workshopping some stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever be disappointed with him. I just think that he wasn't super stoked that I tried to bring that much sort of heat right before he went up. You know, because I think if he had this choice, he would have been like, "Will you fucking tone it down a little bit?"
Yeah, I'm not up to this tonight.
just energy wise, because that's how I feel. Like I hate when I have to follow someone that's like. You know, like I used to do a beatboxing thing as a closer, and I remember thinking, I would hate to follow some idiot beatboxing. You know what I mean? Like, and I followed people doing shit like that, or they got a guitar, or it's like a song, or something that you just can't match the energy of it, really.
Right.
It's not even about what's funnier. It's like, that's just, you know, holy shit, that's a stripper midget. Like, I have to follow that. Like,
right.
That's just a weird energy to follow.
What
you
about
know?
Like personal energy? Like, because like back when like Dane Cook was like super huge,
yeah,
he was just like woo, like constantly, yeah. Like up. Amp.
He's
amp.
Intense, yeah.
And it's like, would you, like, if you're, like, you wouldn't put a Mitch Hedberg after a Dane Cook.
That's
like,
what I mean, you know, yeah, like, that wouldn't work too
like,
well.
You're just like, this guy that was, like, snorting coke is now, like, doing the heroin guy. It's
I think
like,
he reversed
make...
that order, for sure.
Yeah,
especially,
yeah, yeah.
too, because an audience, it's like, audience gets more drunk as they go, and
right.
their energy builds as well. So you would sort of want to start out with the lower energy guys, maybe, and then move into the really crazy, because it is so hard to go... Let me do Dane Cook and now Mitch Hedberg. It's
right.
like, whoa.
Because you're going to get all amped on the energy and you're like, right. oh, I'm on this wave. Woohoo.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, what? Talk,
it's like
talk
Coke
louder.
And then like, so much volume. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's,
exactly.
yeah pretty weird.
Yeah. Cool.
I opened for him once.
Mitch Hedberg?
Dane Cook. Oh, Dane Cook. I wish Mitch Hedberg. But it was at the Hollywood Improv. I got to host the show, and it was him and Chris D'Elia were on the same show.
Wow.
So it was like, who's going to out energy who, you know? They were both bouncing off the walls with the energy. And then I'll tell you who I thought upstaged everybody was this guy, Owen Benjamin, who does like musical, you know, and again, he closed with like piano and comedy. And you couldn't match that energy with anything. It was like insane. If he's doing like his version of Genuine Pony on the fucking grand piano, like no comic is going to go up and follow that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like that type of like, it's almost like vaudeville or something. It's like where
you need an MC at that point to go up in between and reset the energy and then bring up the next thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Next up we have the swinging sisters from blah blah blah.
Yeah, we're gonna have that. I think that's why they had MCs to begin with.
Yeah, that's one thing that I would like to do more is more stand up. I've only done it twice, and it was just so super fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah,
Jared practiced. He did good.
Oh yeah,
I did practice. That's well, good. Of course. Like I wasn't gonna get up there and not know what I was doing.
I practiced a lot, but we did comedy about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, a
couple years.
So it was Dallas. This friend of ours, BJ McEvely, who's done comedy off and on. Some folks who haven't done comedy very often.
Okay.
Like it had been or 20. Never. Yeah, it had been 20 years.
Never.
Right. It had been over 20.
There
it
was
20
a few
years
of us that had never done it ever.
Yeah. And, wow. And there was a couple that never did it. And so we had all our friends. It was a great night.
It was cool. Like that. Yeah, so we had to till 2. You couldn't attend. There was no bombing whatsoever.
That's so fun.
like, it was like I could have got up there and been like, feet are funny, right?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
that's a dream.
It was a lot of fun.
It was like
I had a lot of premises. I had so many. That's my thing. It's
I
get scatterbrained and like I come up with a good idea.
It sounds like you guys were having so much fun though that it made it like then you can't really fail because you're enjoying it so much, right?
It was the best.
Yeah, I still felt like I failed. I don't think I wasn't happy with how it went. You know. I perform so much, you know, like, and so it's...
But I mean, you know, it's like you say, you practice and like people ask me a lot of weird questions about stand up, but I think it's just like anything. The more you do anything, like hopefully you get better at it and you only learn from fails, like from those mistakes. You've like you do something not quite right and then you kind of readjust it, edit the material, try it a different way, shorten it a lot of the time, shorten it, you know. And to extreme amounts.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much of comedy that I think is just like,
too much setup.
Cut all of that shit.
To get to the
you know,
setup.
You do what you do and then listen. And when the crowd laughs, it's like, cut everything else out and just keep that part.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's hard, though. Self-editing, man, that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, I wrote this thing, and
it was brilliant. So funny.
I'm a genius.
It's the funniest thing you've ever heard.
I'm a fucking writing genius.
I write jokes, but you don't understand how well I understand.
I do that on the show, too. I make that mistake. I'm like, I wrote this brilliant thing. It was this thing. Well, first of all, this isn't even brilliant. This is retarded. I shouldn't even use that word, but my brother would be mad at me for that. I told him I wasn't going to use that word.
Practice.
It was like... I ain't afraid of no goats, you know, because it was some thing about goats and ghosts, and it was like the spirits of goats, and like, so I said this thing, I totally thought I was so brilliant for this, and then I remembered, no, I'm too old, and no one gets that.
No one got
the reference of I ain't afraid of, and Sarah Lee is one of the writers on the show, and she's like, 12 or whatever, you know. And so I was like, do you get with that? She's like, no, I don't get. And I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I run all my material for the show by her now.
Yeah.
Because she's like 21. That demographic where you're like, millennial, hey, do you get this?
Does
and they're
this
like,
make any sense?
No, I don't. And I started watching a YouTube video on my phone halfway through your sentence, you know.
You're like, if I say the word pager, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Beat me 911. Does anybody?
Does that make sense to you?
Anybody no? get
okay.
that?
Great.
But when I do shows for older people and they're all, and I can see that they're all old, then you can break out some of those old references and they light up because they're like, oh, I am included again.
Yeah, I get this.
You know, you're actually speaking to me. And there's that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
You know, but then 90% of the time you're doing comedy for like 20 somethings and
yeah,
they don't get it and they hate it. So.
Oh, man. Crazy times.
Just got to keep updating.
I guess so.
I think everybody like does this thing where we get to a certain age and we go, that's it. That's as far as I go. I'm not updating my slang, my fashion,
my music.
My music. Led Zeppelin was the greatest band and the only band. Right. You know what I mean? I wore parachute pants then. I'll wear them now or whatever. You know what?
That's one of the biggest things that I like think about because I'm 34 right now. And I'm like, when I get older, am I still going to be okay with like jeans and a T-shirt or am I going to look like a tool? Because no, you're going to be 75 year old forever. Man. Right. Jeans and
you
a
will
t-shirt.
Be 75.
Like, am I going to look like an idiot? Because I'm still wearing.
I don't think
so.
Because I think as we get older, though.
Still playing Pearl Jam.
Right. But that's going to be like that'll be the classical music or whatever that your grandparents listen to. You know, because
my grandparents listen to actual classical music, though. I'm going to be listening like Snoop Dogg. I'm 80. But, and we're like, where's your bitches? Like, that old guy is crazy.
Seeing that age is going to be interesting. Like seeing that.
I know.
Yeah, seeing that movie. Into its 70s and 80s is going to be interesting.
It's so funny. I know it's a weird era because like everybody has tattoos and like I don't have any tattoos, but I'm like the only person I know. You know, well, I don't think my girlfriend has any tattoos either. I'm like, what happened to you? But she wants to get one, of course, you know. And I feel really old for that. You know,
like, not having a tattoo.
You don't have any tattoos? I'm like, no, I kind of hate needles. I'm a pussy.
Plus also, it's forever.
Yeah. Also, if I had, it would have been something like Cypress Hill. Yeah. You know?
So that's what you made a lifelong
Cypress
commitment
Hill
to.
Why did I put Cypress Hill on my fucking neck? God, that was a bad choice. It was like Homer Simpson. He had the tattoo. It was like, oh, I'm going to like this band forever. And he looks at it. Well, I wonder what was that tattoo? It's Starland Vocal Band. Oh. That would be me, you know. It would be like Public Enemy. Like, wait, do people still listen to Public Enemy? No.
Dang it.
Shit. Well, it's on my lower back. So that's how it's going
to
be.
Good times. Good times. Yeah. I hate to break up the fun fest, but we're about at time.
All right. Well, it's been real. Yeah. We didn't even talk Game of Thrones this time.
I know.
I guess we did that all last.
Last episode.
In the,
ghost
episode.
Yeah.
The spirit episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you can access, you know, if you join the membership.
If you want to pay extra for the Disney version of this podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Then we'll talk about Game of Thrones and all the Marvel movies.
There will be a Game of Thrones thing entered in here right now from our good buddy Biz, who's doing our season recaps for us. So we'll plug that in for all of you people out there.
Life's a Biz!
Hello again, everybody. Here we are once again. Life's a Biz on Life's a Binge. You know what? Can I call you Thronies? I feel like I can call you Thronies. This is our fifth week together, and I feel like we have that special kind of relationship where I can start calling you my Thronies. You know what? No, I hate it. Anyway, let's get right to it. Here we go. Season 7, Episode 5. And it left off exactly where the last one, or started right where the last one left off with Jaime in the water. And look, I've said it a bunch of times before on this segment. You have to suspend a lot of disbelief with this show. Apparently they time travel now or can just morph into different areas because it used to take them 7 seasons to travel 5 minutes away from each other. And now they just beam wherever they want. But now you're asking me to believe that Jaime and Bronn swam underwater from a bunch of Dothraki and a dragon in full armor. I'm not going to buy it. I'm a good swimmer. I ain't that good. Nobody is. Sorry. And then all those Dothraki just gather up all of the troops, every single one of them, and Dany's like, hey, Do you want to join me or do you want to die? Two guys decide I'm not going to join you. Then Randall and Dickon Tarly. Dickon. Anyway, they decide they don't want to join Danny and they get Danny decides to just burn him on the spot. And Tyrion says, yeah, you know what, maybe you shouldn't have done that. And she goes, I gave them a choice. I'm not going to go back on it. So I don't know where we're supposed to stand on this. Lots of different ways to govern, I suppose. Anyway, the rest of the prisoners decide to fight for Danny, which is a good decision on their part. Because who's going to be nicer to them, Danny or Cersei? Cersei is telling Jaime right now that she wishes that she could bring Lady Elena back to life so she could be killed again, thus dramatically showing us that Danny burns people, but she's not as bad as Cersei. I highly doubt that. Then we get to the really cool part, which it was kind of a deja vu moment for a lot of us, where Jon is at Dragonstone and Drogon lands. And we have this How to Train Your Dragon moment, and it's really cool. Jared, play the theme song. Play the theme song of How to Train Your Dragon right now. It's magical. It's lovely. And the dragon's like, uncle, nephew? Uncle, nephew, brother, what are you? Anyway, it's weird. And then John looks at Danny with kind of like a, hey, maybe you know me and you should. It's kind of all janky, but as if it wasn't awkward enough, Ser Jorah decides to show up. He has fought the Greyscale, and he is back. He is back and nicely healed and ready to do something stupid for Daenerys, which is just in time because Bran finally did something a little bit useful, and he warped into some crows. Now the crows are flying over the wall, and they're looking for the White Walkers, and he has found them. The crows find the White Walkers, and they are in line, and they are being commanded, and they are good little soldiers, and they are walking towards the wall. Eastwatch, possibly, which is near the ocean, which is where some frozen ice is, which is a good opportunity for them to go around the wall. Hey, heads up, John. Maybe you should get there pronto. So that's where the Night King is heading. All right, and then Sam is trying to persuade the maesters, the smartest men in the world, that this threat is real. And they go, you're not real, Sam. Get out of here. Well, they're pretty dumb for being the smartest men because, the White Walkers are a real thing. Who knows? And who knows? Maybe they think that men can swim underwater with full-blown armor on away from dragons and Dothraki a mile. Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Anyway, Varys and Tyrion are talking some sense into Cersei, or they're thinking about talking some sense into Cersei, and they both have two different styles of governing, and then pretty much it's like, hey, you know what we should do? We should go capture one of these White Walkers to demonstrate to everybody that this is a real thing. And Jon is like, yeah, I'm in. So then we're off to Winterfell, and Arya and Sansa are already starting to fall out. Hey, it wouldn't be a show about two sisters without some infighting, right? Sansa and Arya already going at it, and there could be trouble in Winterfell. I was going to say trouble in paradise, but Winterfell ain't no paradise. It looks cold there. We barely have time to figure all of that out when we're back at King's Landing, and Tyrion and Bronn have set up a meeting with Jaime. Tyrion pretty much talks to Jaime about, hey, you know, you need to make sure that Cersei has her eyes on these White Walkers as well. And this meeting gives Davos a chance to head into Flea Bottom. Because guess who's been rowing for 3 seasons and also blacksmithing? Gendry. That's right. Gendry's got a big hammer, and you know what else he's got? Huge biceps. Apparently, rowing for 3 years is pretty good for your cardiovascular system and your muscles, and you start looking like that. Pretty damned impressive, if you ask me. And look at Gendry's a beautiful man. I mean, I love my wife, I love my son, but that Gendry, he's a good-looking dude. And when he shows up with Jon, remember that? He gets back to Dragonstone with Jon. They have this instant bro moment, and poor Ser Jorah is like, I finally get Danny back. And then I turn around and Gendry and Jon are standing right behind me. So right back into the friend zone you go, Ser Jorah. Sorry about that. Maybe try next time. So then we get to the one of the biggest moments in the entire series. And who called this? Me, back in episode 1, when Sam was given the task of transcribing all of these different scrolls. And remember a while back, too, Sam was the one who insisted that Gilly learn how to read. Well, once Gilly learns how to read, she tells us that Rhaegar and why can't I think of her name? I'm blanking on it. Oh, man, you guys are going to be so mad at me right now. Lyanna? Sure. That's not it at all. You know what I'm saying. All right, hang on. Hang on. I have it in my notes here. I'm just going around. Rhaegar. And you know what? Screw it. I can't find it. So finds out that Jon Snow might be a legitimate heir to the throne. And you know what Jon does? He just blows them off. What the hell? That was it right there. Everything, war over. Show over. We don't even have to wait for another leaked episode. It's done. But, you know, what are you going to do, right? Got to have those ratings. Got to have those episodes rolling. So we're going to get two more this season, seven more next season, and we could have avoided all of that if Sam had just listened. All right, well. Then it's back up to Winterfell, and it appears Arya is spying on Littlefinger. Except Littlefinger is setting up a trap for Arya. And he places a scroll inside his bed, and he makes sure that Arya finds it. And if you knew what this scroll said, you are lying. Don't look at your phone like you're like, Mike, how dare you call me a liar? You're a liar. You had to go on Twitter and Facebook and the internet just like everybody else did and find out exactly what was on that goddamn scroll, because nobody knew what that was. Turns out it was a note from season one when Sansa sent a note to her dad, Ned Stark, to figure out or to tell him that she was safe and that Ned was going to be executed for treason, etc. So that's pretty nasty. All right, so over to the east, where everybody is now gathering. We have a giant Suicide Squad type of rogue villains, except hopefully this one won't suck. You've got the Hound, Beric, and Thoros, who just kind of happened to be there. Gendry is there with his giant hammer, and he hates everybody. John is there, and he hates everybody. So it's Sir Jorah, Sir Davos. They are all just like, you know what? Let's go get us one of these White Walkers, and they march through the wall, and it is on. And that's where we get the credits for this episode. So it's pretty damn good. I can't wait for the next one. Actually, I can wait. I can wait for it to air properly. Please, if you're hearing me in the sound of my voice, don't be that guy. Don't watch early. Watch when you're supposed to. This has been Mike Bissett for this week's episode of Life's a Binge. My segment's called Life's a Biz. My name, once again, Mike Bissett. I'll see you guys next week on the recliner.
Where can people find or follow you or whatever? I mean, you're a big tweeter, you said.
I'm not a big tweeter. My Twitter handle is Jesse_San, S-A-N. So that's probably why no one Jesse can find San. That. Yeah, that's right. Is that? Yeah. And then Instagram, I'm Jesse Egan Comedy.
Cool.
On everything. Cool, and cool. I think you can Google me and find my website, which has got really old shit on it that probably don't want to watch.
And what we're realizing is people don't generally go to websites anymore.
No, I don't think they do. It's all Facebook. The Tonight in San Diego website has more updated stuff, and you can see like the show. TonightinSanDiego.com.
Nice.
And you have a Facebook page too, I imagine.
Yeah, that's all on there.
That's probably, yeah.
Yep, Jesse Egan. And it's J-E-S-S-E, you know, except for when I'm at Starbucks, and then it's I with a little heart over it. Yes. So otherwise it's
J-E-S-Y. Wait, yeah. What? Come on now.
By the way, so one thing about Game of Thrones, though. I don't know if you guys, did you watch the South Park one when they did a South Park episode on Game of Thrones, and at one point they say, we've got this men's choir to do the lyrics, because there's actually supposed to be lyrics to the theme song that starts.
I've not seen this.
Because the whole joke is about how Game of Thrones is this show on HBO where they keep showing wieners all the time.
Right, okay.
And so then they go in to hear the guys recording the song, and it starts up, and they're all singing, they're all, wiener, 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 wiener party. And it's, I cannot think of that, like, every time the show comes on, I just think it's, two wieners next to another, wiener, 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 wiener. So you gotta watch that on South Park, because that's it changes fantastic. Every time you watch the show from that point on.
That's
all you can think
so
of.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Yeah,
thanks for being here.
For sure. For sure. Fun. Absolutely.
And all of our listeners out there, go check out Comics Talk Comedy on your other podcasting needs. Yeah. You guys still do that show.
We still do it.
Yeah.
Jeff keeps threatening to leave, but he never does. So we just keep interviewing people.
And it's good. It's fun.
And I never know who we're going to interview. It's every time fun. I show up and it's someone new and I'm like, oh, hi.
Hey, you.
Yeah. I have no idea. He books the whole thing. Yeah. So it's always a surprise.
Well, there you go. So you can check out Tonight in San Diego and Comics.comedy with Jesse. And yeah, thanks again for being
thanks
here.
Thanks very much. And yep. Wish me luck. Because tomorrow morning I'm throwing out the pitch to the Padres.
Nice, dude.
And I'm probably going to
that's like the coolest thing I have ever heard.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
So that will have happened like 6 days ago.
Are you going to go like full? Are you going to go full from the mound? Or are you going to go from the front of the mound?
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was from the mound, isn't it?
Yeah, but like the people that puss out, like they stand in front of the mound.
Oh, they do? Shit, I don't know.
Have you practiced? Like
I went and met with Stephen Woods the other day after his baseball game. And he tried to throw. He showed me how to throw, and it went very poorly. So I don't expect.
If you're not expecting it to go well, then make it really bad, and then you'll be like that guy.
Make it on ESPN somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's going to be really bad. I think I had 1 out of 20 throws that was like to the guy catching.
Oh yeah.
They call him a catcher. Is that what they call him?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a catcher, and that's a mitt. That's an oven mitt that he's using.
Yeah,
I'm really good at swaft ball.
That's freaking.
I can't wait.
Epic, dude.
So cool. We're both big baseball fans.
Oh, cool.
So
that's like
so
the coolest thing I've ever.
I'm
heard.
Really excited.
That's cool.
Woods said that he did it twice and he was shaking like a leaf both times. So I'm expecting to be very nervous.
That's cool. He's crazy. He's
it's gonna be
fanatic.
He's a great baseball.
It's gonna be a Padre game, so there's gonna be like 4 people watching.
Okay,
you,
good.
So no pressure because there's nobody there.
This still will probably be the most amount of people I've ever failed in front of. So pretty excited.
Hey, when you bounce back from it, just think how much stronger you'll be.
Here's what I'm wondering, though. When I show up, if they go, hey, did you happen to bring a ball?
Right.
Did you bring a ball with you? Because we forgot the ball. And maybe a microphone, if you have a microphone and a ball.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
And do you have someone that can catch? Because, maybe a bat? I don't know. So
that's freaking
wish
awesome.
Wish me luck. We'll see how it goes, Phil.
That's so cool.
Good luck, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, thanks thanks for being here again. And that about wraps it up for us. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.